Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise God. I'm so thankful just to be on the call to the broadcast today. I've been absent for a couple of weeks because I took a flu shot, Saints. You know how the flu. So I took out a flu shot, and then I got sick. And so I was out with that because I didn't want to be on here talking and couldn't get my, couldn't hardly talk. So anyway, so I said, well, I'll wait. And then last week we were on revival. I'm telling you, we had an awesome time in revival on this past week. So thankful to be able to do that. So I was glad for being a part of that ministry. We had a family revival, Bishop Jakes, Sarah Jakes Roberts, Torrey Roberts, Pastor Torrey Roberts, Pastor Jakes Coleman, and then First Lady finished it out on Thursday, but really Bishop finished it out this morning. So we had such an awesome time with the revival. And so I'm just so thankful to be on the broadcast. I feel a little unorganized. Anyway, we go on, Lord, here we go. And so, but I'm going on anyway with what we got. And so I'm thankful also just to just to be on the broadcast today. So I'm so glad for that and being back. And so I thank God for that. I'm going to try not to be absent no more if all possible. But anyway, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And I'm just thankful to be alive, thankful to be saved, thankful to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and thankful that I am one of God's children. I'm a part of the kingdom. I'm accepted in the beloved and all of those things. I say praise the Lord. We're talking about prayer. We started talking about prayer a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about, you know, why should we pray and those things like that. So, and I kept saying on that broadcast that we were going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, so we're going to start with that today, and we're going to do as much as we can, and then we will be back again on next week, and we'll be continuing this topic to continue on with prayer. So I'm just so thankful for those that are logging in, those that are calling in, those who will listen to the broadcast later, those that will join us here on Facebook Live. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I see you all coming in. I'm so thankful. I try not to call names because I don't want to forget nobody once I get started because people are coming in now. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. And I got me some good reading glasses because, you know, them other glasses was wearing me out, saying that they want me to look up and down, look up and down. But anyway, I told them I needed some reading glasses because I cannot see that computer without them. But anyway, I'm so thankful for that. I can see good far off, but up close it's getting a little difficult. But nevertheless, God is good, and his mercy is good forever. Let us open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we're in a season of thanksgiving. We're in a season where we are thankful unto you, O God, for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you've been doing over all of our lives, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our shepherd and that we shall not want. And we thank you for being our light and our salvation, Lord. Whom shall we fear? We thank you for being the strength of our life. And who shall we be afraid? We thank you, God, for being our refuge and our strength, our very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, we thank you for being our healer. We thank you, Lord, for being our forgiver, Lord Jesus. You've forgiven our sins. We thank you for being our redeemer, for you redeemed us, O God, from the curse of the law. You redeemed us, Lord, from death. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you for everything that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for being, like I said, our healer and being our provider, our Jehovah Jireh. Thank you for being our Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Thank you for being all that. I thank you for being Elohim and El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for being God. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord, for your omniscience, being omniscient and being omnipresent. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being omnipotent. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we couldn't make it without you. We couldn't even live in this earth without you, Lord Jesus, because we need you in our lives. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being present. We ask you, Lord, to bless this broadcast today. Let your word fall on good ground, Father. Bless those that need it to find it, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless our country, Lord Jesus. We rebuke a prejudice in our country, oh God. We ask you to bless our president. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those in the White House, oh God, those in Congress, those in the House of Representatives, those senators, and all those that are connected. Lord, let them hear your voice, that they will begin to follow you and that they will accept you as their Savior, because some of them don't know you. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, bless this country, Lord Jesus, and bless the people therein, Father. Let us repent for the sins, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and turn our hearts back to thee, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless the children, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the children's hearts will return unto God, O God, and that they will begin to know you as their Savior, God, and begin to know you in the pardon of their sins. And, Lord, that they will be happy, that they will find you and know you, Lord, and that their parents will begin just to reiterate and tell them about who Jesus is. So, Lord, we thank you today. We ask you to bless us today, strengthen us as only you can, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. You know what each and every one stands in need of, O God. And, Lord, we know that you are able to meet every need because you told us that you will supply our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, because we know that you are a shepherd and we shall not want. I said that already. But, Lord, I thank you that you are God. And so that means we have no lack, Father. We ask you to bless each and every one through this holiday season. Lord, we rebuke depression. We rebuke oppression. We rebuke suppression. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to let them find joy and peace in thee, O God, as never before. Lord, we thank you, Lord. So many people have lost loved ones and over the years, and Lord, and we ask you, Lord, even currently, Lord, we ask you to comfort them as only you can, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, be with them and be their guide and be their comfort, Lord. Just bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I know how that is. So, Lord, I'm asking you to do the miraculous for them, Lord Jesus. Bless all those that are homeless and those that have homeless and have homeless children, Lord. Bless them, Lord, to find shelter. Bless them, Lord. Feed them, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us not only want things for ourselves, but, Lord, let us, Lord, want to meet the needs of your people, Father. Let us have outreach in our good heart, Lord, that we'll do other things do for others, Father. And think about it as if it was us, oh God, because it could have been us, Father. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us as only you can. Keep us as only you can. Strengthen us as only you can. In the name of Jesus. I am so thankful to be on here. I feel a little hoarse. So a little, I guess they told me I got some allergies. You know, I didn't have all that before I moved to Texas. When I was in Indiana, I was good. So anyway, I thank God for just all that he has done. He's been so good to me. And I tell you, I couldn't have made it without God. I thank God for being a part of my life and just being my life. I thank God for all the years that I've been saved and I want to stay in the will of God, and I thank God for that. So that's why the Lord told me to teach this foundational teaching, because I want people to have be able to stand, that even when the winds and the waves come, the storms come, that you'll be able to stand because you know what the Word of God says. I was so excited today in service this morning. I hope everybody had a good morning service and was able to hear from the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to finish my prayer out of him because I just can't keep me going. But anyway, I hope everybody had a good service this morning, and they were fed, and that they are, they have their faith increased because of the Word of God. They're encouraged because of the Word of God. I tell you, we got an awesome word this morning. It was just so awesome. And I tell you, if you have time to go out there to thepottershouse.org and look and watch the rebroadcast, it will be worth your time. I'm telling you, it was an awesome word of him letting us know how we are not cursed and how we are part of Abraham's seed. And you have to hear the whole breakdown of it. I don't even want to touch it. But anyway, because it was awesome. That's why I thought I'm telling you. If you get a chance, if that's what you want to do, if you want to just hear a good word, and I know you already heard a good word this morning because pastors and leaders are preaching and teaching all over this land and country. We have some awesome people in leadership and teachers and preachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists all over this country. We thank God for each and every one of them. And I ask you, as always, please pray for them. Please keep them in your prayers. Uphold them and lift them up because they need it. They need to be continually upheld in our prayers and things like that, because they come up under so much attack. And so we need to be with them and keep them in prayer. So that's what I was talking about. Let's go right to it. So I was talking about, you know, why we should pray and the reasons why we should pray. Prayer is our opportunity to communicate with God. It is our privilege because, God don't have to sit there and listen to us, but he is willing to do so. And so, God, we're privileged to be able to have a communication line with God. And so we have to understand it from that perspective, that we shouldn't take it lightly, because it is our opportunity to commune with him and to communicate with him and to be able to talk to him as well, and then wonderfully be able to listen to what he has to say and how he's leading and guiding us. So these are the things that we should be excited about when we talk about prayer, because prayer is that two-way communication. It's just not us Lord, do this for me. Lord, do this for me. Lord, give me a car. Lord, give me, help me pay the bills. Help me. No, it's just not always this constant request, even though the Bible tells us over, it was in Matthew 7:7, where it says, ask, and ye shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And then, so we know that, and we know that we have that privilege to be able to ask God for things and be able to talk to God about the things that we have need of. But that's not what all prayer is about. First of all, when we think about prayer, and I'm going to talk about the Lord's Prayer in a minute, but we have some elements to prayer. And, of course, I tell people all the time, they say, well, I don't know how to pray. Prayer is just communication. It's you talking to God. It's you pouring your heart out to God. It's a heart matter. Everything we do when it comes to everything, we have to do it from the heart. We can't just do it because, you know, it's because Jesus even talked about that in Matthew 6. We can't do our alms before men so that men can, and doing these all fabulous prayers so that men can hear us and that we can be noted for that. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is simple communication with God. You talking to God and God talking back to you. It's a two-way communication. You have to talk and listen. He listens and then he talks and he speaks. And the one thing we do have to stop doing when we talk about prayer is we can't go to God after we've already made a decision. The Bible tells us to trust, in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so we got to understand that we need to acknowledge God first before we jump out there and then start doing things, because then that's when God is like, okay, you already made your decision, I'm going to let you have it. So we got to understand he's not a bully. He's not going to go over your will. He wants us to be obedient to him, but he gives us a choice. So we always have to remember that we have a choice. So one of the things I always think about when I begin to pray, and I really have begun to practice it, like I told you, I began to develop a prayer life, you know, when my mom was sick, and then my aunt, my sister, my Aunt Florine was there as well, and she was sick, and so I had both of them to take care of. So in order for me to be able to do that, I developed a prayer life, a time for meditation and a time for prayer. And that is what really helped me through those years. I think I started taking care of my mother when I was 18, and she passed away when I was 34. So I had that responsibility for all of those years. And so the Lord helped me through that, through the meditation and through that prayer. And I'm telling you, if you don't think your prayers are powerful, if you pray that word, I'm telling you, that word won't return unto you, won't return unto him void. Because what his word will set out, will do what he has set it out to do. So we got to remember that. But I want to talk about some of the key elements of prayer, and then we'll break down the Lord's Prayer that Jesus, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, this is what Jesus told them to do. And there's a breakdown to that particular prayer that is somewhat similar to what I'm saying when I talk about, you know, going to God first. We have, and we go to God, when we start our prayer, we say, you know, the Lord's Prayer says, Father, it says, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We'll read it in a minute. And so to me, that is adoration. What we're doing, we're praising and we're worshiping God for who he is. And that's really how we should start out our prayer. Don't go into the prayer, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, Lord, I need. He already knows what we have need of, but he is wanting us to pray for those things that we have need of so then he can respond to prayer. Because he's just not responding to us, you know, sitting around thinking about it. We need to pray. That's something I learned. We need to pray. So you need to audibly pray instead of sitting around just thinking about it and then thinking, God, no. Now, even though he knows our thoughts and he knows what we have need of, he wants us to pray. And so you got to understand that he wants us to pray. And so we got to begin to talk to God about things and not just sit around thinking and then wondering why we're not getting an answer or praying amiss because we're doing it in a lustful thing. We're going to talk about it all day, but let me go back so I can stay focused because I do have an outline. So anyway, it talks about adoration and us beginning our prayer with praise. We begin to worship God when we begin to pray. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for being sovereign. I thank you for we begin to acknowledge who he is in our lives. So when Jesus said, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, he was honoring God. So when we start our prayer out, we're honoring God. And you get, and like I said, if you don't know none of this, just start communicating with him. You ain't got to go through no form of fashion. Just begin to do it. But these are just some helpful tips on what prayer is and how we can get you know, in a format of prayer that we can use, that will help us along if we want, if that's what we choose to do, not just go talk. And so anyway, then the next thing is we have confession, because we begin to ask God to cleanse us, ask God to forgive us. And if you don't think you need forgiving every day, then you're wrong about that. Because the Bible tells, I think it's over in 1 John, it says, if you say you're without sin, you lie and deceive yourself. That's what the scriptures say. And so we always got to make sure that we are asking God for forgiveness, that we are asking God to forgive us the sins of omission and sins of commission. Sometimes I say, Lord, forgive me of the sins that my mind thought about. Forgive me of the in word and in deed, Lord, just forgive me. Because I want to be in the right frame of mind with God. So if I get confession, so if I adore him, then I confess, then I'm getting myself in alignment with what God, in alignment with God, in a place of obedience, in that alignment. And then the next thing I always do is I begin to thank God. Thank God, first of all, believing, acknowledging God's grace. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for, you know, everything that I feel like that he's done and even beyond, because he does exceedingly abundantly above all we can even ask or think. We have to remember that. And so, but we thank God, so then you begin to thank him and have a heart of thanksgiving. Right now we're in a season of thanksgiving. And so as we begin to thank God, you know, we can begin to thank him and really thank him. Just don't be, Lord, but, you know, really begin to honor him and thank him in those ways. And so then the next thing is supplication. It is our specific prayer request. That is what, we're doing when we're talking about prayer. And so when we think about adoration, let me go back to that. When we think about adoration, the first and most important thing, element of it, is always begin your prayer by getting our heart, our soul, and our mind and strength fully focused on God, on our big, great God, on our God, because he's so big. And so we ought to understand that if we're going to take these other things to him, we got to begin to get our focus on him. So that's what adoration does. It begins to help you to focus. You're not so busy. You're not so much focused on what all is going around you and all the things that you're going through. But when you begin to adore him, you begin to put him in a place. You begin to get your heart in focus, your mind in focus, your soul in focus. And then you begin to get your strength is fully focused on God when you begin to adore him. So that's why I say, start your prayers out with adoration. Lord, I worship you. I praise you. I magnify you. I glorify you. Lord, you are awesome. You are the Almighty God. You are Elohim. And if you don't know any of those words, just begin to adore God. You know, Lord, I adore you. Lord, I appreciate you. Lord, I'm so thankful that you saved me. I'm so thankful to be a part of, accepted in the beloved. You begin to adore him, and then that way that brings your mind into focus on what's getting ready to take place. So you get your mind off of all the other stuff, and you begin to put your mind and focus on God. And so that's what the adoration is for. And so then we go to the next thing, and then we're going to go to the Lord's Prayer in just a minute. Then we go to the next thing, which is confession. And so confession is, that's the next element, and it is the stage where we purposely seek the Holy Spirit conviction of sin. And we might ask God for forgiveness, and we ask him to trust or to cleanse us by his blood, the blood that Jesus shed for us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think it's Psalm 19 where it says, talks about, let me go to it because I like to go to things, so I won't be off in my thing. But I always quote this in my prayer as well, because it helps me to ask God for a couple of things when it comes to bringing myself in alignment with him. I think it's Psalms 19. And it says, let's see, where is it at? It says, here it is right here. So it says in Psalms 19, it says, this is the 13th verse. It says, now I always include this in my prayer time. But it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then it also says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And so I ask God to do all of these things. And then I say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because what I am doing is I am setting up my confession. I'm confessing. I'm asking God to cleanse me from the sin. So first off, we told you to bring your prayer time and adoration. because what you want to do is get your mind focused on God and your communication with God. So when you adore him, it brings your mind into focus. Then you can begin to confess your sins. And so then I begin to do a confession, asking God to forgive me so that I can be in the right standing with God when I begin to really begin to petition God. So I do that next, and so that helps me to get that all up. So I pray, right? And if you don't know all your sins, then just say, Lord, forgive me of sins of omission and commission. That's probably going to cover them all right there. Those words right there. And begin to do that. And then the next element is thanksgiving. And so thanksgiving is that acknowledging that all the blessings come from God alone, plus believing and receiving these blessings. So when you thank God, he says we got to come to him with thanksgiving and enter into his courts of praise. He tells us that. But the thing about it is if we begin to thank God, then we are also telling God, Lord, I'm thankful for everything you've done for me. I was fussing about something this morning on my way to church. I got tickled myself. And so I got tickled because I was having a little trouble with my car thing. And I said, Lord, I'm so sick of this car. Then I said, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have transportation. I'm so thankful that you're providing for me and that you're providing transportation for me. So we have to remember, I'm drinking water because I'm really been a horse for a couple of weeks. So I always try to, if I get in that fussy mood, I try to make sure I come back to that thanksgiving and begin to thank God and begin to praise God, because we want to keep that in perspective, because that can take us in a whole lot of places and we don't want to do that. And then the next thing is supplication. So now we're ready to ask God for specific things. So we went to him in adoration. We went to him with confession. And then we began to thank him. And now we're going with him in supplication. And now we're ready to ask God for specific things. And now we're standing in the power of his might, because we've cleared up all the other stuff that might keep us from our prayers reaching heaven, from our prayers being an incense of going up to God's nostrils. And so we want to make sure that we are in that frame of mind. And so then let's go to the Lord's Prayer, because I said I'm going to take care of this, because I kept saying that the other week and I didn't. But anyway, when we begin with the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so then, of course, Jesus was teaching on prayer in Matthew, the sixth chapter. And it was the sixth chapter where he began to talk about, you know, the hypocrite that says, and I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to be like they are, doing all that, you know, to be seen of men. We don't have to do that, because first of all, he told us those that pray in secret will be rewarded openly. And so that's one thing. I'm going to have to start drinking me some hot tea before I come on. But anyway, but thou, when thou prayest, enter, and this is the sixth verse, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, this is Jesus teaching in Matthew, the sixth chapter. And so then it goes on to say, but when, this is the seventh verse, we're going to read 5-13. It says, but when we pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Like I told you, prayer is really just communicating with God. It's talking to God, God talking to you, and you having this communication line. But, you know, there's nothing, I mean, you know, so don't give up, you know, what it just said. But be not, this is verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, we're going to go back and talk about this in a minute. I'm not going to address it right now. I'm going to go back and talk about it, because that's something to talk about, because I know that can throw somebody, especially when you're newly saved. You think, well, if he already knows what I'm asking for, why isn't he helping me? Why isn't he doing this? And so we're going to talk about that briefly in just a minute. After, this is the ninth verse, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when I thought about that, particularly in the breakdown of the Lord's Prayer, if we look at when he said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It says, so our Father, which is in heaven, indicates that God is not only majestic and holy, but he is also personal and loving. So that Father, our Father, lets us know that he is a loving God and that he cares about us and that he cares about what we're getting ready to talk to him about. He really does. And then the first line, that's the first line of the model prayer. And then it says, hallowed be thy name. And so hallow or honor is God's holy name. We're honoring his name, and we can honor God's name by being careful not to use it, disrespectful, because what is that? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't take the Lord God, thy God's name in vain. And so sometimes we do that unknowingly, but we have to be respectful of his name, not to use it in certain situations. You know how sometimes people can curse, and they'll say, GD or whatever. So we have to work, we have to be thinking, because that's taking it way out of context. And so we have to understand that we cannot reverence his name in that regard, but we have to reverence God's name. He is holy. We got to remember, we're praying to a holy God. We're not praying to our partner, our brother and sister next door, our family. We're not doing any of that. We are praying to our holy God. So we got to keep that respect to a holy God. So those are some of the things we have to understand when we are praying. We got to keep it respectful because God is holy. He don't have to do nothing for us, but he does because he loves us. And so we have to keep that in perspective. Then the next thing was divine intervention. Thy kingdom come. And so when we said that, thy kingdom come, we're saying that it is a reference to God's spiritual reign and to God's spiritual reign. God's kingdom was announced in the covenant with Abraham in 8 and 11, and then in Luke 13 and 28. And then it says, is present in Christ's reign in believers' hearts. And that's Luke 17 and 21. And then and will be complete when all evil is destroyed and God establishes the new heaven and the new earth. And, of course, that's Revelation 21 and 1. So I'm giving you scriptures because I know, look, what time is it? Where am I at? Because I don't want to get too far. Ooh, it's almost 30 minutes. I've been running my mouth for a minute anyway. So those are some scriptures, and I can put those out there on the page. So if you want to read them, you can. But those are things. That's thy kingdom come. So that's our divine intervention. And so we have to want that divine intervention when we want divine intervention because we want God to intervene on our situation and on our circumstances. We have to remember that. And then the next thing is submission. If you break down the Lord's Prayer, the next thing is submission. Oh, my voice feels like it's getting a little better. That is submission. Thy will be done. So when we pray, thy will be done, we are not resigning ourselves to fate, but we are praying to God that his perfect purpose will be accomplished in our lives, in the world, and in what we're praying for. So that's when we say, thy will be done. Even Jesus, when he was in the garden right before he was getting ready to go to the cross, and he went and asked God, he said, can his cup be taken from me? He said, nevertheless, thy will be done and not my will. And so he was resigning his will to God's will. And so therefore he went on to the cross where because that was his purpose. That was his purpose to redeem us back to God, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. That was his purpose. And so that was his purpose. And so he went on to the cross and fulfilled that. And I was telling him at the top of the hour how our pastor this morning preached on that and how it was. I told him, if you get an opportunity, I can't do no justice. If you get an opportunity to go out there to thepotter'shouse.org and listen and do the rebroadcast, I'm telling you, it was awesome. You will be fully, truly blessed by that message. I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. I said, it'll help you with some stuff that you're going through, I'm telling you. It's going to help you. It's going to help you to understand that you are not cursed and that the enemy can't curse what God has already blessed. It's going to help you with some stuff. I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you to go out there and listen to it, but I don't want to do any justice to it because I can't. Anyway, then the next thing is provision. It said, give us this day our daily bread. And so we are asking God to give us provision. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we acknowledge that God is our sustainer and our provider. And so we have to understand that he provides for us. He is the one that supplies our needs. And I know we go to work every day and we're making that money, but it is God that is giving you the job. It is God that is giving you the knowledge to do it. If I don't know anything else, I've got a story. So on the place I'm working at now, I'm doing I'm doing some, it's kind of, it's fraudulent-related stuff, and so it's we have to clear people's names is what it is, because we have so many people in this, in the country that their names are you know, are tied to terrorist acts or whatever, or, you know, what kind of illegal acts they are. And so when people apply for credit, their names have to be cleared against if their name matches up with those names. And so we have to clear it. So they had told me at first, they said, well, you got to do 400 a day. And I was sitting there thinking, I said, well, Lord, this ain't even my skill set. I said, you know, they put me over here to do this, and this ain't really my skill set. But anyway, I said, I'm going to do my best. That's what I said. I said, I'm going to do my best. And so the first day I was over there doing it, after we finally got everything set up, I was doing them. And I probably did about 70-something. I'm telling you, it was about 70-something. And they were like, well, you're going to have to do better than that. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? Because I'm going through them. These are taking me a long time. But, well, first of all, I didn't have all the things to do them. As everybody else did, they have more software packages. So, I mean, software or systems that they can look through, and I only have certain ones because I'm limited, because I'm a contractor there. And so I'm limited to certain things. But nevertheless, I kept doing, they kept telling me that, and I was getting frustrated about it. I said, no, Lord. So I got up, and I went to that bathroom, and I said, Lord, now I need to be able to do this, and I need you to help me. What do I need to do? What do I need to do, Lord, to get to these numbers that they are asking me to get to? I said, okay, I can't use the excuse. I can use the excuse that was not my excuse. I've never done this before. But I said, that ain't what I can do right now. I need you, Lord, to help me to be able to meet the numbers that they are requesting for me to meet. So I went in that bathroom praying, and the Lord gave me an answer. And he said, go back over there, go back. He said, every name that starts with an American name, that starts with an American name, he said, do those first. I'm telling you, Lord, by the end of that day, I had 400-something done. I tell you, I was so excited, I didn't know what to do. Next day, 400-something done. So do not tell me, you can't tell Denise Bryson that the Lord, when the scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Just go in there and pray. I asked the Lord, how do I do it? Because it wasn't something I'm doing. I'm an auditor. I'm an accountant. And so those are things I've been used to doing. So this was something out of my, I hadn't done before. But the Lord showed me how to do it. I've been hitting my numbers. I've been so excited about it. I'm just excited. So anyway, that's for somebody that maybe, you know, you're having some trouble on the job or someplace else. Ask the Lord how to get it done. I'm telling you, he'll give you a strategic plan for it. He gave me that plan. And I mean, I was doing better than the ones that been doing it. I was so excited about it. So anyway, they're doing an awesome job, but I was so excited for the Lord to answer my prayer. That's just how quick God will answer your prayer when you're sincere about it. And I wanted to do a good job because when I'm on the job, I'm also representing God as well. We are not just on our job just to be on there working and making money. We are on assignment. That's one thing I always know. I'm on assignment. I'm there for somebody. He placed me there for a reason. And so I got to make sure that I'm presenting myself so that I can complete the assignment that God has got me on. And so then the next thing we were talking about, then we go to forgiveness, because we said forgive us our debt as we forgive those that give our debt to us. And so this is the thing we got to know about forgiveness. I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to have a forgiving heart. Everything deals with our heart. You have to be able to forgive people if you want God to forgive you. That's just really what it is. We can't ask God to forgive us, and then don't want to forgive other people. I know people have hurt you. I know some of the things they've done have been horrific. I understand that. I tell people at the hospital when I go minister at the hospital, I understand that. I remember a young lady one time told me, she said, how can I forgive when I was molested for 13 years? She said, you're asking me to forgive somebody that molested me for 13 years, and which had caused her to channel in different, down a path that she really wouldn't have had to go through if she had not been through those situations. And I told her, I said, well, forgiveness is not for them. It is for you. I said, because God cannot get in your heart and begin to move if you don't forgive. I said, it's going to help you come to a place where then the Lord can begin to heal you if you forgive. She said, well, I'm going to say it pissed off. I said, I don't care how you say it. Just keep saying to yourself, I believe. I told her, if you keep saying, Lord, I forgive them, Lord, I forgive them, I said, I guarantee God is going to manifest it in your heart and that you will have forgiveness in your heart for the person that hurt you. I said, so just keep saying it until it manifests. That's what I told her. I said, you can be pissed off about it. That's okay. But eventually you're not going to be. And so I just believe that God blessed her. See, I never know the outcome. And one thing about going off to that hospital, you never know the outcome of what how the word has really penetrated. But this is what I do know. Because the Lord told me, he told me this, and this helped me a lot when I minister to people. I'm either in two places. I'm either planting or I'm watering. God is always going to give the increase. And so when I go over there, I know I'm planting or watering. And I believe God's going to give the increase. So I believe that that young lady forgave and it began to manifest in her heart and God has begun to heal her and do it so she's in a better place. That's what I believe. And that's where I stand on. I don't worry about the rest of them because that ain't my position. God gives the increase. Nevertheless, so that's what I was talking about when we talked about forgiveness, because it said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So if we want God to forgive us, we're going to have to forgive. I know, I understand it. I'm not discounting any of it. I'm not discounting anybody's hurt. I'm not discounting any of it. But if you really want God to deliver you, and if you really want to be healed, and you really want to have a better life and a happier life and a more peaceful life, you got to forgive him. You just do. You got to forgive him. And if that means that you got to quote it, you got to say it out of your mouth every day until God begin to manifest that, then you got to do that. Lord, even if you got to say this, Lord, bless me to forgive my debtors. Just bless me to forgive them. Bless me to forgive those that hurt me, those that caused me problems. But bless me to forgive them. And then I believe God will be do the rest, and he will do the healing in your heart that you need. That's what I believe. Then the next thing is our guidance and deliverance, because it says, I'm saying, yes, it's hard to forgive sometimes. But Sister Gail said, she said it was hard for her to forgive, but she did it. And I'm telling you, you got to do it. If you really want peace in your life and you want joy in your life and you want to go on in life. I told my sister was upset with my mom. And, you know, and I don't know because my sister's 14 years older than me. So whatever happened at that time, I probably wasn't there. And so, but she was upset with my mother for years. And because we're really distant apart, my brother's sister's 14 years older than me, my brother's 5 years older than me. So, you know, a lot of things transpired before I came along, and even after I came along, you know, things were just going on. But my mother was not a bad person. It was just, you know, some things that went on. And so anyway, my sister was still upset with her. And I could tell she was still upset with her because it was her, it was the tone in her voice and how she expressed what she was talking about. And so I simply said to her, gone on the glory. She done gone on. She done passed away. She's gone on the glory. So are you going to continue to let that thing affect you? Or are you going to forgive her so that you can move on in your heart and be happy and so that you can begin to be healed and move on? You got to forgive. You got to forgive. And I know, and I'm telling you, I got a forgiveness series. And if you could have heard those testimonies of those people on that line that talked about how we had one that forgave the man that the drunk driver that killed their daughter. And they forgave him to the point that I think even just like maybe sometimes at the end of last year, they finally went to court about this situation. And they were able to minister to that man because they could tell that he was still feeling, had so much guilt on him and all of that behind the situation. They were able to minister to him. And when he left there, he felt forgiven. And then one of the other things, they were talking about how because her daughter was killed and she felt like she knew that young man killed her daughter. But, you know, she forgave him. And because of her forgiveness of him, her daughter's son has turned out so much better. I mean, turned out to be the awesome young man. And, you know, and the testimony went on and on. And I think one of my other good friends, she talked about how her dad molested her and how he beat her mom and all those things, but how they were able to forgive and to move on. I'm telling you, people have been through some horrific things. But they had forgiveness. They came to a place where they could have forgiveness in their heart, and they were able to move on. We have things are tough, and I know people, like I said, people have done some bad things. But, you know, you got to do it. If you want to be better, if you want to have the heart that God wants you to have, then you're going to have to get a forgiving heart. Ask God to help you to forgive. I always pray this. I pray this. I said, Lord, help me to forgive those that have hurt me. Help me to forgive, because I said, help me to love the saints. Help me to love people. And I always say that, and then I always say, Lord, forgive, and Lord, you forgive me for the things I've done, and then help me to forgive myself. Because sometimes some of us need to forgive ourselves because we allow things to happen. And so we need to put that in our prayer as well. Lord, just help me to forgive myself for me even allowing this stuff to happen. And I'm not talking about some of the molestation, some of the, you didn't allow none of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you was in a relationship and you grown and you were in a relationship and they was acting a fool. That's what I'm talking about. You might have laughed that because you didn't take yourself out of that when you had an opportunity. I'm talking about stuff like that. I'm not talking about things that people have done to you that have been horrific in nature and that they have caused you some of these things. I'm not talking about that. Those things you have to, you don't ask for forgiveness for yourself because you didn't do anything. But some things we do, you know, we might have done that we might need to ask ourselves, God, to help us to forgive ourselves as well. And so those are some of the things I'm talking about. And so then the next thing is, it says guidance and deliverance. So we're still breaking down the Lord's Prayer. And it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so when we think about that, God sometimes allows us to be tested by temptation. But as his disciples said, we should pray to be delivered. We should always pray to be delivered from temptation. And so we should also ask God, Lord, help us to recognize temptation. Help us to recognize when we are being tempted or drawn away. If we can recognize that, then we can begin to pray. Like I was talking about earlier when I said I started fussing about something, and I said, let me go back. And I started saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for that. Some of the remedy for those types of things when we get in that type of frame of mind is for us to begin to worship, begin to praise God, begin to worship God. Like I said, when you begin to worry, begin to worship, begin to praise God, because that's going to diffuse the enemy. He can't understand why you're praising him and worshiping him at a time when you should be crying, murmuring, and complaining and fussing. You got to replace that with worship and praise. And so that's what he's talking about. So when we're tempted to do things that we should not be doing, we have to ask God for deliverance. I told the Lord this, you know, because I've struggled with this for years. This ain't no new news. People that know me know I've been, you know, I used to weigh about 340 pounds. And so I prayed about that for years and asked the Lord to help me and, you know, and all these kind of things. And then I eventually got surgery, and the Lord blessed me to lose the weight. And then I gained it back, and then I had some a revision and done it again and lost the weight. And even now, the struggle continues. I said, well, Lord, is this my thorn in the flesh? But nevertheless, I told the Lord, I've asked God, I said, Lord, show me what I need to. I just asked God, show me what I need to give up, because I've given up a lot of stuff. And, you know, as far as food is concerned, but evidently I need to tweak it again. So I asked Lord to show me what I need to give up, and he told me what to do. And I asked Lord to help me to stay focused on eating, you know, making my diet right and getting my diet together. So sometimes we just got to go back to the Lord and begin to ask him about things we need to do so that we won't be tempted. Because I tell you, when I get that hyper mode or nervous and all like that, I can crunch on some stuff. And so I can just go to crunching, crunching, crunching. And so I know that about myself. And so since I know that, I'm asking God to help me to fight through that, because to me, almost that says that I'm depending on the crunching to comfort me when I got the Holy Spirit to comfort me. So I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, comfort me as only you can. Lord, let me allow the Holy Spirit to comfort me and not me try to comfort myself. And so a lot of times when people are addicted to things, whatever that is, whatever that type of addiction is, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's food, whether it's sex, whatever the heck it is, the Lord will help us to not depend on those things for comfort, because he has sent his Holy Spirit to do that. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to begin to comfort us in the areas where we're feeling unsure about things. That is what we have to pray. That's why prayer is so important to us. And I'm going to tell you, I always got a story. But anyway, where's my timing? Okay, anyway, I got this story, because you got to understand that your prayer can be powerful. And one of the things that, let me go and tell it, because I'm already there. So one of the things I remember when I was younger and I was living over on where my mom, and I was still living with them, I was still living with my mother. And so I remember, I would pray every day, pray every morning. And I remember one of the things that was going on in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood had kind of gotten to be bad. And so, and I knew that, you know, in that neighborhood, there were older people there. I knew the neighbors because, you know, we was a village back then. And so, and I knew the neighbors, and my aunt lived, my father's sister lived on the street ahead of us. And then my mother and my aunt and myself lived in the house. And then, of course, I knew all the other neighbors that lived around. And so they began to sell, there was a store across the street, and they had put some people in there, and they were selling drugs. And, I mean, we were literally seeing them sell drugs in the neighborhood. One day I came home, it was like I felt like I was in L.A. on the strip or something. You know, cars all up and down the street, blocking the driveway. I had to move them out to get them move out of the way, to get on the drive. I mean, it had turned into something. I was like, Lord, what is going on here? as I began to pray and ask the Lord, and I said, Lord, what can I do? And the Lord told me, give me a big old bottle of oil, get it anointed, get it prayed for. And so we was in one of them high services over at Cathedral Praise, Bible Way Church over there at Cathedral Praise, and we was in that Blood of Jesus service. I had that bottle of oil with me, and I got it prayed for, and I mean, I took that bottle of oil, and I got up and done my prayer. I got up at 5 o'clock, and I done my prayer meditation at 6 o'clock. I came out of that house, and I went, the Lord told me, start in one corner, pray, walk, pray, and pour that oil. So I went, I was praying and walking and pouring oil. I went from one corner to the next corner, and I asked God to deliver our neighborhood from these drugs and from this infestation of this stuff, this crime and stuff like that. I asked the Lord to do it, and I began to pray about that. And it was so comical, one of my neighbors called my mother and said, I saw your daughter out there pouring that oil and praying this morning. But anyway, I was out there pouring and praying. I'm telling you something, not many days hence, I was sitting there talking to my mother in her room, and I was sitting in that chair talking, and I saw something kind of move. I didn't have the drapes all the way up, but I saw something kind of move. And so I kind of, you know how we used to do back in the day, peek through it out knowing we were peeping. And so I peeked through that drape, and I saw the SWAT team. There was a SWAT team in the yard. There was someone across the street, and they were, you know, kind of all the way around. Next thing I know, that situation was resolved. And I thank God for that, because I know it was the power of God that did it. I might have prayed. I asked God what to do. He told me what to do, and I did exactly what he told me to do, and the power of God eliminated that situation. The next thing we know, it was a house over there that housed some strange people, too. They tore that house down, and they put signs in the neighborhood that said this is a low-tolerance zone for drugs and all that kind of situation. And our neighborhood was restored. And so I thank God. I'm telling you, you got power in your prayer. If you trust in the Lord, you can pray and you can bring things back into alignment. And so you don't have to fear. You can do it. If you get in there and ask God what he wants you to do and how he needs you to pray, and you can get your prayer, he'll answer your prayer. I never will forget. Let's see. I don't know if I finished all that. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get to praise, and then I'm going to go tell the story about Israel. So praise is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So the end of God, Jesus ended that prayer with praise. And so these are just some of the things that we should think about when we begin to pray and when we begin to ask God, about things. And that's a pattern of prayer. So you have the Lord's Prayer there as a pattern that you might can use for prayer. So like I said before, you don't have to do that. But, you know, you can just communicate with God. But these are some of the things we want to do. We want to have a good prayer life, a good prayer life. Because what I wanted to say, I had a bunch on this paper, but I ain't got to it. You know, it's a privilege for us to pray. And the one thing about that privilege is that we can come to God in prayer, but we got to understand that. And let me say this, because I do want to say this before I get ready to close. When we pray, we got to understand that, and I'm going to read what I wrote, what's wrote down here, that we have to come to the place of realizing that God responds to our prayers. And so we got to think about this, and this is how I'm going to bring this point about Israel in. God responds to our prayers, and we have to come to the place of realizing that our prayers are privileged, and that the privilege is always ours, but the power belongs to God. Now, our prayer. So that's why I told you when I was talking about that particular story about my neighborhood. I prayed, but the power came from God. It didn't come from me. It came from God. And so we got to understand that the privilege to pray is always ours, but the power in prayer is always his. So the power in prayer is always God. And then it says, without God, we cannot do it. And then without us, God won't do it. So if you're not praying, then God ain't going to do it. You got to pray. And so it brings me to my point here. Let me get over here to my scripture because I thought about this. I think I did do that. Hold on. I want to make sure I see if it'll bring it back up. Yep, there it is. Thank you, Lord. So in Exodus 2 and 23, this is one of the things, you know, in Exodus 2 and 23, you know, Israel had been in bondage with Egypt for 400 years. And so they had been in bondage for all these years. And so so it says in Exodus 2 and 23, it says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And so when that cry came up to God, God began to set in place. He had already set in place a long time ago, because Moses was the person that was going to come to help to deliver them. But when they cried unto the Lord, then God began to set in motion the place. He had Moses in the place where the burning bush and all those things began to happen, and he told Moses what he had need for him to do. And so all of those things began to happen as a result of their cry, as a result of their prayer. So I want you to understand, if you want God to move in your life, you got to pray. He responds to prayer. Now, the one thing I also want to bring up about this, too, because I think it's James 4. Go back to my lesson here. James 4:2. It says at the end of it, I won't read the whole verse, but at the end of it says that yet ye have not because ye ask not. But then in the third verse, that's the second four, James 4:2 and 4:3, it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So we got to make sure that when we are praying, that we're not praying amiss, and that we're not doing it for some lustful reason, but that we are doing it out of our, because it's a need, and that we have a need from God. So I wanted to bring that up, too, because sometimes we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. Sometimes we're praying, and then we're getting up and not believing. So God can't answer you if you don't believe. Because it says over in 11:6, it said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward to them that diligently seek him. So when you pray, you must believe that he is. When you pray, you must believe that you're going to receive. These are the things we have to put in our thought pattern, in our mind. When we do these things, we have to believe we're going to receive it. We have to believe that he is a rewarder, that he can do it. A lot of times when they were on the road, when Jesus was healing and on his ministry, and they said, Lord, the blind man came to him, and they said, Lord, can you heal us? He asked him a question. He said, do you believe that I can do this? And they said, yes. So we got to believe that he can. That's the thing we got to understand, that we got to believe that he can. So one of the things that I want to pray, because my time is set up, and then we'll be back here next week. Hopefully I won't be so hoarse. I'm trying to get my voice prepared. But what I'm doing, sorry to be looking away, but I got to get back here. Oh, somebody was on the line. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for those on the line. And so I thank God for that. But anyway, what I always want to, I never want to forget to do this, and so I got about 7 minutes. You know, for those that don't know the Lord and the pardon of their sin, I always want to make sure that we pray or we do a call to Christ, because people need to be able to give their life to Christ. You never know. They might not have been to church this morning, weren't able to come down, but then this is an opportunity for them to do that. And so I always want to make sure that we do that. We offer an invitation to Christ, and that we make sure that that somebody has an opportunity to give their life over to the Lord. And so for all of you all that don't know God and the pardon of your sin, and that you know that you need God, and that you know that you are a sinner, and that you need God to begin to deliver you, and that you want to give your life to him, this is an opportunity, because we know that God is faithful, and that he wants all of us to be saved. That's what he wants. And so I'm just asking you all to go with me and repeat this prayer with me as you can. It says, dear God, I want to be a part of your family. I'm going to slow it down so if anybody needs to repeat it, they can. You said in your word that if I acknowledge that you raised Jesus from the dead and that I accept him as my Lord and Savior, I would be saved. So, God, I now say that I believe you raised Jesus from the dead and that he is alive and well. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins in the name of Jesus. Now I am saved. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, God, for forgiving me, saving me, and giving me eternal life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. So if you accept, you prayed that prayer with me, I believe that you are saved, especially if your heart was right and you really sincerely want to give your life to the Lord. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that you can continue to grow and that you can continue to be fed the word of God, and you will be blessed and be able to grow more and more and more, and God will begin to take you through the process, and you will be blessed. And I always believe that salvation is progressive. We might start in one place, but as we grow in Christ, we get better and we get better at it. We're able to continue to be blessed. And so I thank each and every one of you for being on the broadcast today with me. I know my voice was really scratchy today, and I thank you for taking the time to listen. I thank for all of those that have called in, those that logged in, and those who will listen to the broadcast later. I thank you for the opportunity just to be a part of teaching this thing. We're going to continue on with prayer. We've got some other teachers that are going to be coming on. I'm just starting it out, and they're going to work it on and finish it up. But we're going to let them. And now the thing about it is we do two things at one time. We're on a broadcast, a radio broadcast, an internet broadcast, and we're on Facebook Live. Now, they may not want to come on Facebook Live, but you'll see my shining face, amen, but you're going to hear their voice because I do believe that we are reaching people, and so we're going to keep that going even though they may not want to come on live. You will be able to hear them, and so we're going to continue with that. But I will be back on here next week teaching on prayer as well. I'm doing the intros to it and introductions to it and the basics of it, and they're going to come on and take it on higher because I believe they can. They're a good group of people, and I thank God for each and every one of them and them taking the time to study, because, you know, it takes time to study and for people and to be ready for those kind of things. It's just not nothing you jump up and do, but you got to study and pray, and then you go through trial and tribulation with it as well. And so, but you got to just continue to go with God. So always keep people in prayer, your leaders in prayer, your pastors in prayer, your teachers in prayer, your evangelists, the prophets, and your leaders in your church in prayer, and your fellow men in prayer. Make sure you pray for everybody and keep them in prayer, even the leadership of this country. Although you may not agree with all the politics, but please keep them in prayer because we live here, so we need God to move on in their life, and we need God to move on these situations that are coming up, so we got to be praying for them, even though we don't agree. Pray for the children and all of those things. And so we're going to close out with prayer. I got about 2 minutes, so let me pray fast. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for your word. We pray that your word would fall on good ground, and then we have a better understanding about prayer and how we need to pray for you to respond to prayer. And we thank God for teaching us that. We also thank God for we knowing that, Lord, that you can't do it without us, and you won't do it without us, and we can't do it without you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we understand the power, because the power in prayer belongs to you, and that we're praying, but the power belongs to you. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power in our prayer, for your answer in our prayer. We thank you for that. We ask you to bless, Lord, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Touch them and keep them, Lord Jesus. Give them traveling mercies as they go. Bless those that are traveling back from the holiday on back home, Lord Jesus, and those that are flying back, those that will be going out toward the Christmas, and those that will be doing things. But bless, Lord, as only you can. We ask you to touch, Lord Jesus, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, to make sure that those that need healing, Lord, heal as only you can. With your stripes we are healed, oh God. Lord, bless those that need financial deliverance right now. They need a miracle, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing for us today. Bless those, Lord, that have lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless somebody's child, Lord Jesus, that might be struggling in school. Bless them, give them the wisdom of God. Let them come to you and ask you, Lord, to help them, and that you will do that. I believe that you will. Bless every mother and father under the sound of my voice. Touch them as only you can. Bless them, Lord, to be good parents, Lord. Bless their children to be obedient and good children, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless school teachers and everyone, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch, Lord, as only you can. But, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done today, and we glorify and we bless you, and we praise your holy name, for you are worthy, worthy, worthy of our praise, God. We thank you so much, Lord. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to keep each and every one under the sound of my voice, those that might be going to the hospital more, be in the hospital room with them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lead and guide those that are going to the doctor's hands, but those that are going to surgery, God. Bless everyone as they go to work tomorrow, Lord. We rebuke every enemy that will try to come up against them, Lord. Put them under our feet, Lord, because you told us you've given us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you today, Lord, that we are victorious because of you. We have power. The Bible says that once have you said it, and twice have we heard it, that all power belongs to God. So trust in God's power. Trust in God's power. He will do it if you pray and ask him, and you pray and believing you're going to receive. Pray and believing that he can do it. You will have what you pray for. God bless each and every one of you. May God shine his face shine upon you, and may he keep you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, man. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast and Facebook Live. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you.